If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Good day to you all, and welcome to Arching Towers for our special EDP Formula One British Grand Prix preview podcast, which apparently is quite difficult to say. We are looking ahead to the big one, at least as far as domestic four-wheeled motorsport is concerned. We have record ticket sales and a huge six-figure attendance over the weekend to look forward to. The Silverstone wing has been finished. The whole place is likely to be looking better than ever for the British Grand Prix this coming weekend. And given the Formula One season we are having, I'm sure the racing is going to match the surroundings. Today's panel here for the podcast, I have John Luton. Hello there, John.
Hi, Michael.
Good to see you again. Kyle Cumbers is here. Hello, Kyle.
Hello.
And Perry Hamilton. Welcome.
Hello,
as
Michael.
Always, keeping the seat warm.
Yep, indeed.
Gents, how much do we love the British Grand Prix here on the EDP Formula One podcast? Lots?
Lots and lots and lots. Beyond words, almost. It's
We can't have beyond words.
Don't worry.
We've got space to fill.
I don't do beyond words. It's tremendous. I mean, not only what it does for the sport itself, but also what it does for us as ambassadors for the sport. I mean, we already have, you know, we've got Caterham that's British based. We've got, you know, McLaren is British based, and you know, Red Bull British based. There's some of the top teams in the world in Formula One come from this country. We've got huge heritage when it comes to it. We've got some fantastic world champions from the past. You just cannot over explain how much this means to the country.
I mean, we were lucky, I suppose, back in the day when the European Grand Prix was here as well, with Donington, and you sort of have a couple of Grand Prix.
I even heard rumours that they're thinking about doing the next European Grand Prix around the Olympic Park in London
as a street possibly. another street circuit. They do like their street circuits. Old Bernie at the moment, he's enjoying them. But I mean, you have good memories of the British Grand Prix in the past, John?
Yeah, I think it's one of those. It's another focal point for things of kind of like a typical British summer, where you always have Wimbledon followed pretty closely by having the Formula One Grand Prix, and I think it's something that, you know, it's where, like Perry said, where the sport's kind of based. You have so many teams that are based within 20, 25 miles of it. So it's a proper home Grand Prix, not only for Britain, but for Formula One in a sense.
Absolutely, spot on. I think it's the race that has the longest current standing contract to be run. I believe it's like 6, 7, 8 years or something like that. There's a lot of security behind the race, which there wasn't a few years ago, it has to be said, especially with all the things that were going on at Donington. They've now made a great fist of things at Silverstone. And I suppose you look at France, where they haven't had a home Grand Prix for ages. The FIA are based in France, you know, that they're just as much as a heart in the sport. Britain, we have almost, you know, there's only two or three teams that aren't based in Britain. We've got three fantastic drivers, some great teams to get behind. I mean, as much as Formula One is in great health, so is the sport here, surely.
Yes, there's no doubt. It's eight teams out of the 12 are based here. I'd say the record crowds and fans are all knowledgeable as well, so that's always good. I'd say Silverstone track, sort of nearly completed, I think. And it's just a really good track just to watch. I mean, I'm going there just to test days, just to watch. And it's just a fantastic track, to just watch cars go around.
Absolutely. And, I think last year, because I think they trained, the first time they'd used the new start-finish straight last year, some of the drivers weren't particularly that happy about some of the changes to the actual track. But it produced a pretty good race, didn't it, last year? Fernando Alonso won, if I remember rightly. It was his only win of 2011. I was there, and there was a massive spat in the press conference over the blown diffuser row between Christian Horner and Martin Whitmarsh. And actually, when they took away the rules as they were then, kind of left Red Bull and McLaren and co playing catch up to Ferrari almost that weekend, which led us all to believe that Ferrari might be in the driving seat for this season until they radically designed their car so it looked like a transformer from the 1980s. But yeah, I mean, it was a cracking race last year. Just wonder if Alonso will maybe fancy, well, not only a second win in a row at Silverstone, but a second win this season.
So you're talking about
this season.
You're talking about like a double-double. Is he
a double,
he's
double,
doing a
yeah.
double back-to-back?
His third win this year.
Back-to-back wins and back-to-back Silverstones
yeah.
is what he's talking about.
Damn right.
I don't see it. Not to shoot you down.
That's what I tried to say.
Yeah, not to shoot you down, Michael, but I don't see it happening personally. I mean, I loved the race last year. Had a great time with it. I was actually watching it in a bar in Amsterdam because I was out there for one of my friend's birthdays, and we found this bar. I think we just missed the start. But I mean, it was great, and I seem to vivid memory sticking out for me is the last corner. I think that was Massa and Hamilton battling it out,
yeah.
and that was took him on the last corner, and we just erupted. It was us and a few other English people in there, and we rocked our socks off. We had a great time with it. But this year, I don't see Alonso doing as well. I mean, you can't deny how well he did last time out in Valencia, no doubt about that. But as I say, I put the emphasis when we looked at Montreal and we looked ahead to Valencia. I put the emphasis on Alonso because I said he was going to turn it on for his home crowd because his home crowd needs a win from him. I view the same here. I think you're going to see Hamilton pushing ahead for it. I'm not discounting Button to all the Button fans out there, but at the moment he's struggling and Hamilton is looking on form.
What a perfect segue to the next line on my little list here. Home drivers, Lewis? No, I think I'll stop it for this one. Jenson Button, Perry McLaren drivers, as you say, Perry, sort of the seasons are heading off in very different directions at the moment. Kyle, this is those two, and Paul Di Resta, who had a great weekend, as we were saying the other day, and for Force India in Valencia. There'll be pressure and excitement on those three in front of their home fans.
Yes, but I think they get a buzz off it, and I think as last year, I think Lewis. He's so determined to keep that third place, I think it was. If I remember.
Possibly,
yeah. And but I think unless McLaren, I think, brings some big updates, I think it will be a Red Bull victory.
Aye.
I think they'll. I think there'll be a British driver on the podium, but I don't know if there'll be a British winner. But hopefully, for all the fans there, but I can see a Red Bull victory.
There's no doubt there. Mm. I mean, it's the same in Spain with Fernando. The way they get behind the drivers when they're on track and off their feet each time they go around, which is, you know, a lot of standing up, really, isn't it, John, when you think about it? How do you see the Brits doing?
I don't see Jensen doing very well at all. I think Jensen's in the kind of rut that Lewis had last year, and I think he's going to find it hard to get out. I think Paul Di Resta will be consistent as he has been, and you know, you expect to see him probably in the top 10, but not much above 5th. Lewis, again, it all depends, as Kyle said, on the updates that they bring. There's a lot of teams are talking about bringing a lot of updates to this race. If the Red Bull car is as good as what it was at Valencia, then you know you can't really see them not winning it because I think they do have the strongest car overall at Valencia. I heard a report that apparently 70%. Of Vettel's car was actually upgrades, which shows what a huge amount of you know changes they'd made, and
so if they
start bringing you know more and more updates and the others don't catch up with them, then you know depending on reliability, obviously you can't really see McLaren doing you know winning the race.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That's fair enough. Red Bull, you'd have to say, are going to look strong. Lotus, a team that really should have had a race win by now, shouldn't they, Perry? I mean, they're going to be. I can imagine Silverstone kind of suiting their power and traction around the corners, but.
Yeah, I mean, we've said many times, you know, looking ahead to other races, and we've said when we talked about predictions, we said, oh, I think Lotus are due one. I think it's going to be Lotus time. I mean, they've made it onto the podium. They've shown, both drivers have shown they can do that. They just need to get that extra push from somewhere. They need to make the tyres work for them, which is the real key, I think. But they've certainly got the speed. There's no doubt about that. And I think the track will suit them. I think the track will come to them as it goes on. I'd be looking more for Grosjean to perform above Kimi. That's just a gut feeling, and I can't really justify that more. But he's going to be frustrated with his DNF in Valencia, and I think he's going to want to go out there and prove that you know was a fluke, and that he actually does deserve to be there and be on the podium for sure. But whether he'll get the win or not, I really don't know. But you'll certainly see a strong performance.
That's almost the norm, isn't it? Grosjean outperforming Kimi. It's happened more than once this season.
Yeah, but you sort of look at the championship table and Raikkonen's 20 points ahead.
That is true.
But obviously Grosjean's had quite a few incidents this year and sometimes struggles to get through the first lap. But he's, I think overall, if you've looked at it, I think he's been stronger than Raikkonen.
It's the expectancies that do it probably, isn't it, between the, between the two drivers. One of them obviously a former world champion. Also, Caterham are one of the teams who are going to be bringing a load of upgrades. I think it's only Mercedes, Toro Rosso, Sauber and Ferrari who aren't based in the UK, or an HRT as well, he said, listing them off the top of my head, looking for someone to back it up. It sounds about right in my head anyway. But, Mercedes are based in
Brackley,
aren't they? Yeah. We won't cut this bit out. It'll be fine. It'll be absolutely fine. But Caterham will be bringing their own group of upgrades, and they obviously have high hopes for those. As we discussed previously, they did a grand job in Valencia. I remember last year they didn't make it into lap 11 with either car because of hydraulic problems. So they'll be hoping for a better weekend of it this time around. What do you reckon, Perry?
I think one of my favourite memories of Silverstone is watching Damon Hill relegated to Arrows. Someone please back me up here if I'm getting this right. And he scored the team's first ever point. 1 point is what he managed to bring in for them. And I'm not saying that, obviously, you know.
You are romantic, you.
I'm just saying these are good. This is a good track to middle of the road teams. It can be. Especially if they've got good drivers. Heikki and Vitaly have shown over the last couple of races that they are good drivers and they can handle the pressure and they can handle getting clipped and coming back, and they're not letting anything faze them. It's not beyond comprehension for them to get a point this weekend. It's not beyond comprehension for them to bring it in the top 10. I'm very optimistic about it. I would love to see it happen, but I don't think you can dismiss it out of hand. I think they could do well.
John, do you want to dismiss it out of hand?
I think Caterham could do really well. I think Caterham, again, it all depends on the performance and reliability of the other teams. And, you know, Caterham as well, a tiny bit of luck with a few drivers, you know, a couple of accidents, crashes, you know, alternator problems, you know, and easily you can see them moving up, and then on their own merits as well. They do at times look quite pacey. It's just whether or not they can be consistent throughout the whole race.
Yeah, they've got good straight line speed, actually. It's mostly the downforce, but then I suppose they all want a bit more of that, don't they? It will almost be home for Caterham soon, because they are moving to Lee Fields, just next door to Silverstone, and most of the team will be moving out of Norfolk. Sad times. They will still have some design bods here, and other parts of the Caterham family will be in Norfolk, so we will of course still be trying to claim them as a Norfolk team, because that's what we've got to do. There we go. The GP2 teams, they'll also be in action, as we've said. They will have the feature race and sprint race, and there will be iSport and Caterham Racing, both from Norfolk, competing in that one, and Lotus GP as well. Okay, predictions then, gents, I think, for the British Grand Prix. Give us a win or something in qualifying, something I can claim as a prediction, and then I can work out this prediction league and see if any of us are any good at it or not.
We're all looking at me. I guess I'll go first and jump off there. I'm going with what I said earlier. I know John has sort of put it down, but
I am.
I'm going McLaren, and I'm going to go Lewis. And the guy, when he gets the bit between his teeth and the car is with him, he is unstoppable. And I don't mean unstoppable like Denzel Washington unstoppable. I mean legitimately unstoppable. And I think he's going to want this. very, very badly. So I'm going Lewis Hamilton on podium, top step, P1. P1
with the finger.
P1 with the finger.
Which, there was a picture of the podium snap after qualifying. Pastor Maldonado was doing the finger as well. And he was there.
That's copyright infringement, isn't it? Well, did Seb have a word?
Seb was too busy smiling and
take him aside.
Forward,
so take him aside and say, you know, no, calm down.
I don't think Seb noticed, actually. Kyle, what do you reckon?
I think the Red Bulls are very, very quick at Valencia. So mm-hmm. I've got a Mark Webber win.
Which is what my heart is saying as well at the moment.
But, maybe three Brits in top six.
Three Brits in the top
six.
Yeah,
go for that. Yeah,
wonder what.
Someone gets money on that. Yeah.
That sounds like a good bet to find that one out.
I personally would love to see Lewis Hamilton or Grosjean win, but I think it's probably going to be Vettel. I don't want to say Vettel, but I think realistically, I think it will be him.
Okay, I think that's probably a good shout. So I'm going to have to say something different, aren't I? Kimi, you know what is it? Four times in five weekends I've tried to say that he'll win a race, and he'll win the week I don't say it, so I might as well keep saying it.
Stick
until
to
he
it.
Either retires or wins a race. Yeah. But Lotus, I think they've got enough to win a race. They just need to get it right, and hopefully Kimi will just close his eyes and ears to the steering issues and just get on with it. I'm not even convincing myself by saying that, but you never know. Brilliant stuff. Well, British Grand Prix then this weekend, fantastic. You can follow all of the news and action regarding the British Grand Prix on the EDP website, edp24.co.uk/F1. I will be there from Thursday onwards, trying to get some chats with drivers and live coverage of all the GP2 and Formula 1 action. So you can follow us there, and there'll be plenty in the paper over those 4 days as well. Away from the British Grand Prix, of course, there'll be Lotus and Caterham coverage on that website all through the season, as well as my weekly column, which runs in the Eastern Daily Press every Wednesday. So we'll have those special plans for the British Grand Prix. Keep in touch. We'll try and get some extra podcasts and chats and bits and bobs. So keep an eye out on the subscription feed, because the podcast is now subscribable, which I think is a word, on iTunes. All you need to do is search EDP Formula One Podcast in the iTunes store, or visit edp24.co.uk/F1podcast. And get in touch with us on Twitter is normally the best way, with your comments, contributions, and whatever. I am at Michael J. Bailey. Perry?
I'm at PedHD56.
Kyle?
I'm at K. Cumbers.
And John?
And I'm at John Leeton.
There we go. Brilliant stuff. Thank you, gentlemen, as always, for joining me on the podcast as my guests. And also, thank you all for listening. And we will be back after Silverstone to chew through the action. Goodbye for now.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.